Two things. Is anybody reading John, 1 John? Good. That should be an assignment. I hate assignments. If I give you homework, I hate homework too. So, yeah, Alan did. So he gets a star. He gets a star. And you get a star for listening. And as you go through it, we're coming up on verses that are, anyway, read it. If you have questions, email Diane and ask her. But really, I mean, if you do have questions, email them, and we can kind of, maybe I could address them. I don't know if I have great answers, but that was one thing. I'm going to read, again, last week, we're in 1 John. I think the title, if I were to title the book, I would say Life in the Light. John repeats that word a bunch of times in the Gospel of John, in this book. I think it's 15 times in this book. In the book of Revelation, it's 40-some times. So that's kind of the title of the book. I think what we're talking, this is my title for today, Fellowship of the Forgiven. The minute I wrote that, I thought about what movie is, you know, that one of my favorite, Fellowship of the Rings. And there was this, the only people that really use the word fellowship, it seems like, are Christians. You know, it seems like, I've talked about this, I don't fellowship at work, we work. You know, I mean, we don't, so in the word fellowship, really, it's translated communion, it's translated sharing, so it just, Fellowship of the Forgiven has two F's, so it's easier to remember. If I said sharing life with the forgiven, that's another way to, it just doesn't sound as cool. So Fellowship of the Forgiven. And the interesting thing when we say that is we make an assumption when we talk about the forgiven. What's the assumption we make? There's two, maybe more than one. What's one of the assumptions? We need forgiveness. I guess the second one would be that all of us here are part of that fellowship, and I think we are. So I'm going to make that assumption. And that's what most people, not all people, think that this book is written to believers, okay? So when you say fellowship of the forgiven, you're like, I'm part of a good group. Well, the downside is you had to qualify for that group. That meant, and I have another title here, Living Forgiven. Because I qualify. I'm a sinner that needed forgiveness. And then fellowship with the forgiven, it's kind of, that's what we do. There's a sharing of this, of understanding what forgiveness really means. Here's one of my rabbit trails right off the bat. We did a customer service program at Baylor years ago. And the guy talked about one of the most, I don't know if you call it precious words, great words, important words of the English language. And it was forgiven. This was a secular, I mean, this wasn't, you know. And there's this, when you say forgiven, you're saying I needed it. So that's what John is going to be looking at in these verses. We're going to look specifically at verses, verse 1, 5 through 2, 2. But let me read the first chapter up to chapter 2, verse 2. Let me just read it again. And it's kind of repeating what John said earlier. And the issue, there's several issues that we think John is addressing. One is, who Jesus really is. They were denying that he was really the Christ. They were saying, well, I didn't really come. God kind of entered and left him. He only was God at the cross. He was all, you know. They were messing that up. And John kind of addresses that in the beginning and through the rest of the book. But then he also addresses, in this part, we talked last week, that they were beginning to relativize sin. Sin wasn't really sin. People don't even say it anymore, hardly. The world doesn't even admit to it. You know, there's syndromes, and there's, you know, I have whatever. I mean, the thing is to say, I have sinned, qualifies you for being forgiven. So anyway, let me read these verses, and then we'll look at 5 through chapter 2. John writes, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld with our hands, handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested or revealed to us, and we have seen and we bear witness and proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy might be made complete. And this is the message we heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Again, you don't, in the commentaries we'll get into, there's a lot of Greek going on in here, but it's almost like New American Standard, you don't really have to know Greek to just understand what he's saying here. There's controversy over whether, we'll get into that in a little bit. But I think that there's issues, I think, in life that can happen. There can be two extremes that we can go to. One is that I always feel guilty. I'm always facing my sin. Oh, woe is me. I'm a wretch, and I'm undone. And just be concentrating all the time on my sin and my guilt. The other side of the kind of, on the other hand, there's people could be like, almost unaware or deny their sinfulness. Say, "Well, that wasn't really me. That was my upbringing. You know, this isn't really that bad. Sin isn't really that bad. This is just," well, we call them white lies, and we call them, you know. And either extreme is kind of bad. I think the problem that John is addressing is the people that have said, "Well, it's really not sin anymore. You know, I don't," and there's basically three things where they say, if we say. And one is in verse 6, one is in verse 8, and one is in verse 9. So let's kind of, and what they're doing is they're relativizing sin. They're making it not sinful anymore. And I don't, gosh, it's almost like I want to get through this real quick, because it's like, the issue is, we can be forgiven. That whole word, forgiven by our Lord God Almighty. And let me jump over to chapter 2, verse 12. There's this other thing you need to understand. When he's writing this, he says in verse 12, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." This is a sure thing. Okay, when God looks at the sacrifice of his Son, all sin is dealt with. It's done. It's over. You're in the family. You're a child of God. That's what we're going to get into in a couple weeks. So what John is trying to pull them back, it's kind of like he wants them to get back to the basics. Remember this. It's easy to forget. It's me, and I've seen people on TV. There's a lady, I forget her name. Probably a good thing. That says, "Well, I don't sin." Did she read 1 John? You know, you can't. Don't sin. Yikes. You know, and yet, don't wallow in it. Don't just hang out there. And here's my second rabbit trail. One time we were at a church and we were sitting there with Don and Lois, Diane's mom and dad, and we were having communion. And some people's view of communion is a little bit different than ours. The guy got up there and said, well, you need to, and I don't want to get into the whole theology, but you need to confess your sins before you take communion. And so you're sitting there, and he's waiting this long time. And they used to take the crackers and break it in front of the thing and make, you know, his body was broken, and they cracked the thing and made you feel. Anyway, we're sitting there waiting, you know, till everybody confessed their sin. Everybody was doing it silently. And afterwards, Diane's dad said, I was going to raise my, when he said, okay, now we're going to take communion, he was going to raise his hand and say, wait a minute, I'm not done. That's not what this verse is. That's not what John is dealing with here. Okay. Don't wallow in this. What John wants us and his readers to understand is that you now are forgiven. Forever. For all time. Beginning in verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. Now the first question comes up, is that ever spoken about in did Jesus ever say this, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all? It's not recorded in the Gospels, but if you read like the Upper Room Discourse, this is what it was about. This, what John is saying, there, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. We were just singing, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. He is different than us. When we say God is light, he's absolutely pure. He's absolutely just. He's absolutely holy, separate from us. It isn't Mother Nature. It isn't evolution. It isn't... He is totally separate, true, holy, right, and just. In him there is no darkness. He can't stand darkness. He can't be around darkness. There is no sin in him. There is no darkness. He is so different than us. I can't even get my mind around this. That's what, just understand, he's light. There's light or darkness. Where do you want to hang out? Where do you want to hang out? Where do I want to hang out? In the light? And sometimes I sneak over to the darkness? So that's what... Think about who God is. That's his first thought. In him, God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. Then this is the first kind of problem. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness... We lie and do not practice the truth. There's this... People's lives weren't kind of... They were, well, I'm a believer. And I can still do all this old stuff. I can, you know, I can still hang out with the temple prostitutes. I can still, you know... That's my kind of my old self. But really me, I mean, I'm okay. And John is saying, wait a minute. Time out. If you say we have fellowship with him, if you say you share in the life of God, that's what fellowship means. If you say you share in fellowship with him, with God, and yet hang out over here, you're a liar. You lie. This isn't, you know, politically correct talk. You are a liar. And what I think this isn't like, because I'll speak for myself. Are there ever times you think you might just hang out in the darkness sometime? And when Diane and I talked about this in John, what is it, 8:12? Can you repeat it? Yeah. will never walk in darkness. They shall not. So there's this, and I think it's the you and I'm, I don't want to pick on. I mean, I'm sure you know somebody that said they were a believer, and you never saw anything change. He always. Why would you hang out in the darkness? Something's wrong. That's, you're lying. These guys were lying. They said they had fellowship with him. Oh, I love God. Oh, I share with him. And then, you know, and I remember, well, there was a person I worked with, and I was like, I wanted to say, please don't tell anybody you're a believer. Because they were a jerk. You know, don't. And it's almost like, I don't, but it, so there was a question. There was always a question. Are they really a believer? If they continually act and are, I have a question. And it seems like they're lying to me. And that's what John says. If you walk continually, if you just stay over there in the darkness, you lie and do not practice the truth. Come over here and practice it. It's, life is way better over here in the light. Really, come back over here. It's way better when you share the life of God over here. Now, sometimes when we talked about this last week, when I get dressed in the morning and it's dark and I don't recognize my clothes don't match and I'm the wrong, I have a pink shirt and whatever, I don't know, and they don't match, and then I walk out in the light and Diane goes, ooh, you can't wear that. Now, I have a choice, right? I can say, I'm going to look weird, right? And then I walk through the day, and everybody, I keep thinking in the back of my head, all the interior designers are making fun of me because of my color shirt or something like that. And or I can listen to her because the light just said to me, or she saw me in the light and says, that doesn't look good. And that's kind of what John, it's as simple as that. And when you're in the light, one of the problems is when I walk out and I realize I feel like an idiot because the light revealed what I didn't want to know in one sense. I kind of wanted to know because I didn't want to look like an idiot at work. But right when you walk in the light and you're like, oh, I looked in the mirror the other day, and I thought I was growing another nose. I had a zit on my nose, and I thought, and you don't see it in the darkness, you know. But I want to know that. But when you're talking about sinfulness and who I am, and when I walk in the light, it's more than a spot on my shirt and the color of my shirt. It's the depth of my soul, who I am. And it reveals stuff about me that I don't like. But it's way better to hang out over here. And that's what I think John is saying. Then he gives the kind of the solution to it. And I think what these people might have been saying, that sin was no big deal. This was just, you know, trivializing it, or relative. It's not sin anymore. And John said, no, it is a big deal. Because then he says, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Does my walking over here and walking in the light cleanse my sin? That's not what it says. It says, if we understand we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sin. Not that I'm so good and I choose to walk over here. And I think that's kind of what, maybe the world gets freaked out over self-righteousness. Well, I don't do that anymore. And I see the speck in somebody else's eye and not the log in my own eye. So when I walk over here, I can't go, you know, in the sitcom Red Green Show, when you never say, or nothing good ever comes after, watch this. You know, it's like, I'm over here, watch me. No, No, I get to walk over here because his son put me over here. This isn't my righteousness. It's his righteousness. It isn't my walk. It's the blood of Jesus that puts me there. Who do I think I am? Don't be arrogant about being a son of God. It's his blood. It's his son. It's not me deciding to come over here. It's like, and when I walk over here, I'm like, God, get me out of here. If you, I've said to people, you know, if you don't have trouble with sin, something's in trouble. Because when I walk over here, it ain't never good. It's never good. And we're going to talk about that later, about the lie of Satan, that some of us still believe. Sometimes I might still like think he's got a good idea. And then when I get over here, I'm like, oh no, this ain't good. So the solution is just walk over here, walk in the light. We're forgiven not because I make that decision to walk over here, but because of him, because of his blood. Okay, now these are, and I don't know why there's this next two verses, these next two verses. This whole idea of confession, I think, and if you understand what the word confession means, I mean, I think you've heard this, right? It means to say the same thing as. That's all it means. It's just saying the same thing about sin that God does. Okay, and let me read these. Because verse 8, people are messed up again. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. The first time it says, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now he says, if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourselves and the truth is not in you. Now, whether this is, you know, I had to come to a point in my life that I realized that I was not this good Lutheran boy anymore. You know, and the way God got me there was he had me join a fraternity. And all of a sudden I was like, yikes. And I told somebody, I couldn't live long enough. I couldn't go to church as much. I could enough to pay for all my sin. I couldn't give enough money. And all of a sudden I realized, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Because when I saw the light that, whoa, you are a sinner. And if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. And people have all kinds of, Gary Enrich had this, well, it really wasn't me. And I have several excellent excuses why it wasn't me. Well, you know, when we were voting on Boy Scouts, I'll tell you, we were in another church, and I was on the board. I was the only guy that voted against Boy Scouts. Now, that's hard to do. That's really hard to vote against Boy Scouts because it's really a good. And they said, why? And I said, well, that's where I smoked my first cigar, my first cigarette, and saw my first magazine that I shouldn't see. And I said, if you vote yes, and it was gonna, because I was the only guy who was against it. They voted yes. I said, but if you vote yes, I'm going. Whenever my kids go, I'm gonna be there because there's a problem there. And I could say, well, it was my upbringing in Scouts that has made me this way. It's my dad that didn't accept me. It was my mom that babied me. It was my... Don't come up with excuses. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. And if I say that, if I walk in the light and I'm like, whoa, this ain't good. Now I qualify for this. Why? I can be forgiven. You know, if I deny it, if I deny that I have sinned, if I come up with all kinds of excuses, if I say it was my upbringing, the city of Chicago, whatever. I remember a teacher made me switch from left-handed to right-handed, and it messed up my brain forever, and now I'm really screwed up. And it was my teacher in fifth grade. No. John says, if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you, in us. He kind of includes himself. I mean, John wasn't always, he was one of the guys that ran the night of the crucifixion. He was one of the guys that sat next to Jesus, that saw the transfiguration, that saw all that stuff. And when he was crucified, he was gone. I'm out of here. So he got to see, well, man, when I saw in the light, when I lived in the light, it was great. And then, can you imagine what those guys, that night, can you imagine what those guys lived through that night? The guilt? Well, maybe I'll run out there and just take a peek at the crucifixion or the trial. No. Think of, and then when he was resurrected and came in the room, said, I told you I was paying for this. So anyway, when think about who's writing this, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. I sin. Then he says, and if we confess our sins, if we say the same thing about our sin. And Gary Enrich had a couple little things in here. If God revealed all my sin all at once to me, I would be paralyzed. I would be paralyzed. You would too. You would too. So as we, as you walk through this life in the light and fellowship with the forgiven, and you come here on Sunday and you're like, man, I was angry at the guy on 30. I got mad at my kid. I swore in my head about somebody, and I wanted to flash a bad sign, and I didn't. I mean, just say the same thing that God says about that. And when he reveals those, he's not going to reveal, if he revealed everything to you all at once, you would be undone. You would be like, paralyzed. Which one do I fix first? When God reveals that to you, when he shows you a sin, say the same thing about it that God does. He, and when you do, there's no merit in that. You know, I don't get forgiven because I confess it. That saying the same thing about my sin isn't like a, like a work. It's like I'm just looking at my sin and saying, okay, God, I understand. This is not good for me. This is not good for me. You guys, the people that you have to eat right, right? I mean, you know certain food. If you ate certain food, right, you knew you were going to get sick. Right? Well, in the spiritual realm, it's the same way. When I jump over here and I spiritually eat the wrong thing, I get sick. And John says, come over here. Come over here. Say the same thing that God says about your sin. Because God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just the one he reveals right there. Not just, he cleanses us from all sin. He's faithful and righteous. He's faithful and just. Righteous means just. He's okay with this. This is who he is. He's the one that's faithful. You're like, wow. All of them? And I don't know if you remember when we'd have a men's thing and Bob would come, he'd always ask for forgiveness. I don't know if you remember that. He'd always pray, Father, forgive us. And part of me was like, oh, but you are forgiven. But it's okay. It's okay. If you want to, when God reveals a sin to you and you go, Father, forgive me. Understand that almost before, I'm thinking before those, not thinking, before those words leave your mouth, you're forgiven. He is faithful and just to forgive us all unrighteousness. Say what God says about your sin. The key is he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. This goes beyond apologizing. Most people think, you know, some religions have picked up this whole thing of confessing and made it be just apologize. Well, God, I'm really sorry. You know, have you ever, sometimes we're sorry we got caught. It's beyond, this is way beyond just apologizing. This is realizing this sin was bad enough to let his son be crucified. This is beyond apologizing. And it's okay. I mean, I think just saying those words, when it used to kind of freak me out a little bit, because when Bob would say that, but that's okay. I mean, asking God to forgive you, that's okay. I mean, how you do it, how you say it, I mean, I'm not, I think, when, you know, remember the movie The Godfather? And there was a time when, I think Al Pacino, he's in the confessional and he's confessing sins while he's out having all the guys, or no, I think he was having his kid baptized. And while all of his minions are out, every time I say minion now, I think of Despicable Me, but they were worse than that. They were out killing all of his enemies. And there's this, that's kind of what I think is, he's denying that this was sin, you know. And then it's not that I go and, you know, yeah, so we don't have a confessional sitting in the corner here where we can all go every Sunday and come, and I sit on one side and you say, Father, I have sinned. That's not what I think John is talking about. I think that got a little messed up somewhere in history. You don't do it to me. You don't confess. I think there's times when you may talk to each other when the women get together and you kind of help me out here. And guys have a little harder time with that. We don't want to admit too much. So anyway, the whole confession thing is saying the same thing that God says about my sin. I ask myself, do I list my sins and ask God to take each one? No, I don't. Now, if that's your relationship with him, you know, who am I to say? But I don't do that. I want to thank him. There's a difference between, for me, there's a difference between saying, Lord, please forgive me, and Lord, thanks. Thanks for forgiving me. In my walk, there's a difference. And I think that's how I take this verse. I look at my sin and go, ooh, ooh. That ain't good for me. And he says, Bobby Ray, that's what I wanted you to know. This isn't good for you. You're my kid. You're my son. There's a lot better life out there than this. I wrote down here, enjoy the life of the forgiven. That's what he said that in verse 4. And these things we write to you so that our joy might be made complete. I'm not here to like, and I feel like I'm pounding on me and I'm pounding on you. We're supposed to enjoy our walk with the, when I said fellowship with the forgiven, it's fellowship with the forgiver. That I can have fellowship, that I can share with God of the universe that is so holy and so different, and he wants to forgive me. And does. Enjoy this. Don't take it for granted. Don't ignore your, just enjoy your walk with him and sharing life with the God of the universe. Then the last one says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Now he goes from, I'm a liar, and I don't practice the truth, to verse 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us, to now, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's a little scarier. That's a little scarier. The people that would say, we have not sinned. When I heard that out of this voice of this lady, that scared me a little bit. To say, I don't sin, it puts you outside of the realm of getting forgiven. God never promised that you would be, he didn't promise a sinless perfection. He didn't promise that you would never sin again. And, you know, and then the question comes up, well, you know, some people would say, well, that was my old nature. I still have my old nature. That's my sin nature that's making me do this. And personally, I believe once you become an adopted son of God, you have a new nature. You are a new creation. All the old things are passed away. Everything has become new. You as a believer are in a totally secure, forever relationship with God. It's all new. Everything about you is new. So, well, why do I still sin? I am a child of God that chooses to sin. And I like to ask the question, think about Adam. How many natures did Adam have? He was created, what? Perfect, right? He was perfect. He walked in the garden with God. This was like, cool, you know. He had one nature that chose to sin. I think as believers, we have one nature that I kind of choose to walk over here sometimes. And God said, get back over here. You know, get back over here. It's way better. I'm a forgiven child of God who sins. And here's the paradox of sin. This is verses 1 and 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you. What? So that you might not sin. You know, I want you to walk over here in the light. I don't want you walking over here, you know. I'm saying this stuff to you so that you would sin less, that you might not sin. And then look what he says. And